With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you feeling a bit animated? Well, come on over to the Wicked Anime Podcast on the Nerdy Show Network, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to animation, Japanese culture, and all things anime. With a true industry perspective, we're always diving deeper than school uniforms and tentacle monsters. Join us on the Wicked Anime Podcast, nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. It's Wicked A!
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is brought to you by the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. So what's going on, guys?
Not a whole lot.
No? It's been the holidays, so those of you, you have a good idea of how long it took us to release this.
Should be something happening.
So with us today, obviously, Josh, the host, I got Liam, I got Doug, we got Max, we got a full crew on our design episode today.
We're going full hombre.
Yeah. The quad amigos.
The quad amigos. Not quattro?
No.
Okay. We'll go with it.
It's not the tres amigos, it's the three amigos.
Whatever. We're moving on.
Okay. So anyway, a lot of stuff happened. A quick recap. The last play session we had, I kind of want to go over that a little bit.
All right.
Where you guys started off with a boss fight. And I know we talked about this off air, but I was really happy with how it went down.
Yeah.
You fought a giant mole. It had three turns per round. Its movement speed was 6, split up across its second two turns, mm-hmm. where each one it could move 3. And its first turn, it could only do a locating attack that hurt and had a secondary effect, but then it would move an attack, but they were different attacks. It was dead in 2 rounds, but as a GM who's had things before playing the scratch dice system die in 2 rounds, this was not unsatisfying.
It did a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, you got to see what it could do, which is really the main frustration that GMs face, is that their monster never got to do the thing you made it to do.
Yeah, Obed found a new thing it could do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, by accident.
Yeah. It did an unintended thing.
Another reason why I think that boss fight was satisfying as a GM is that momentum served its purpose really well as well. On the creature's final attack on its turn, it bit Obed and grappled him. And to escape the grapple, Obed spent 3 momentum.
I think so.
Spent 3 momentum and failed to escape the grapple.
Damn.
So I was like, well, he just accidentally swallows you. And it's a surprise to the both of you. he didn't mean to, but you really just thrashed around. And then we came up with rules for that on the fly that worked out, and it was fun. I was really happy with it, and I wanted to bring it up because boss battles are a thing that I get very frustrated with in Dungeons & Dragons and Pathfinder. Either it has way too many attacks around, and it does them all in one turn, and the GM has to decide, do I just want to kill this character outright? You know, you start off playing a dragon, you've got a breath weapon you can use, and claw, bite.
It's one of the things, like, one of the reasons why playing a rogue in 3-5 is a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah.
By about 4th level, most things that you fight that are boss level characters can one-shot you. Mm-hmm. Statistically, like an even standing, middling damage from all of its attacks just will kill you.
Right, and it's weird to think of it as a one-shot, because like, how can those all happen in the same moment? The claw, bite, you know what I mean? It's just because of how they've decided the rules work for that game. And it's the same problem with 4th edition. 4th edition, it was a little better because of the way that they would have multiple abilities that recharged that were complementary and that kind of thing. However, they would give bosses action points if you felt like... So you'd have a boss that had 2 action points, which means you could take another standard action on its turn. But then you're still presented with the same problem. You know, do I just want... I mean, I could just have them spend all 3. Well, not really. You can only do 1 per round. But, you know, I could have them do 2 things
right out the gate. You just each round, action point. Actually, if you really wanted to kill them,
yeah,
you just do it.
Exactly. But it's not even if you, the GM, can you justify not doing that for the monster that you're running? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's just like, why wouldn't this monster just kill this one person after what just happened?
It's like chess against yourself.
Yeah.
You're going to be doing one side more than the other.
Well, it was odd using the action point mechanic with it. Because part of the decision of action points is you only get a certain amount per day.
Yep.
So you spending that action point is a big investment. Well, if you have a monster that has it, well, this is the only encounter it has today.
Yeah, it's going to use them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you don't use them, you just decided to go easy on them. If you had the opportunity to use it and you didn't. So I like the multiple actions per round, multiple turns per round for the boss monster, because it also, in between the things where it's like, it's going to focus on one person. If that becomes obvious where it's starting to focus on somebody, the rest of you can try to intervene while it's happening before the round ends. And hopefully the person will live. So speaking of boss monsters, I was thinking about this for AoE. So boss fights, sometimes it's just a big monster.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's somebody who commands a bunch of people. AoE characters lose out a bit on the larger monsters, but overwhelmingly benefit on when it's a bunch of monsters. And I was thinking, should AoE attacks deal more damage to larger creatures if it hits all the squares? And just trying to balance how you would explain, because like, okay, if you create a zone of fire and all the fire is underneath the monster, you could be like, yeah, it takes a d6 for every space he covers. It makes sense, but what if it's not a zone and you do a blast attack or a cone?
Yeah.
He should only take damage for the ones that hit him, because it's not going to hit his back. No. You know, like...
Yeah.
So I don't think we should balance around that.
If there is a problem with that, that's not the one, because Fire Blast then would become unreasonable.
But how... The most damage you could do...
Fire Blast only goes so far.
Yeah.
Right? So
Cone 3, yeah.
Yeah, so like...
But that's still 66 for the mole we are fighting. That would be possible. But that's a lot for an at-will attack.
But I'm saying, like, what's the maximum amount of hexes that can touch the side of a giant? Six?
Oh, that can touch its side? Three.
Yeah. So, but you're saying if it's like under it somehow or whatever?
Yeah, which I don't think... That's the thing. Okay, so just to even introduce the idea that could be true introduces all these special conditions for the abilities we already have.
Yeah.
And it makes playing an AoE character way more complicated than it needs to be.
Right. Yes.
Maybe just a simple way, it's max damage if you do it a certain way. Like, it's just not like a critical... I don't know. That makes it too much like, oh, you just did a critical hit because you were just clever.
Well, we can do something late in the path of fire that's like, oh, however many spaces you would have hit that monster, you get one extra damage. Something like that.
Yeah, that's fine.
That would be something where you're like, oh, I don't feel like I'm missing out, and I don't feel bad going into boss fights. I don't feel nerfed, you know.
No.
I'm still gonna ramp up the damage.
I think that's fair.
From the point of view of a player, it's like, so wait, I do this AoE attack on like five minions and it does a certain amount of damage to each one. It does like, let's just say, two damage to each, just for argument's sake. And then I face this giant monster and I literally put the whole, I give it, you know, both barrels, just all full force, and it just does two damage. Like, that doesn't seem fair.
That doesn't bother me, especially with Fire Blast, because it's such a specific use, but it's so good in that specific use. I would almost say it'd be doing both barrels, but the spread just doesn't get there because it's just in the fucking way. Like, maybe, it's not crowning around anyone. Right.
I was gonna say, if it's just like one target, maybe it does double the regular damage. I mean, you'd have to successfully hit it, but
that's still too much.
Or you roll twice.
I think it would be a lot easier if in step 4 or step 5, we're just like, on large creatures, you get this bonus,
and just, it's just a flat bonus.
It's just a flat bonus, and you just get to know that, and you're like, all right, sweet, a large creature, it's slightly easier for me to hit. And that's, it does a little more damage.
Yeah, because even if you screw up your damage roll, you at least have that plus 3 bonus or whatever. Because it's the broadside of a barn.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That seems way more elegant than trying to micro... Like, we have a couple of attacks that work differently when you use different weapons or can be used different ways, but you have to deliberately do that. It's something you choose. It's not something that happens to you. And
it would be weirdly overpowered if you just took one step down one thing and suddenly...
Oh, and had Fire Blast. Well, no, that's core. So I think...
Yeah, but if you pick core fire, you are sacrificing
a lot.
You're shutting yourself off from a lot of stuff.
I would say for stuff like Burning Lance that does composure damage, like extra, throwing that on isn't going to be killer.
What do you mean throwing the extra damage because it's larger?
Just the composure damage, but you only get one.
Yeah, I think maybe we'll save it for later, because adding just the straight plus. So for instance, you do a D6 plus your composure with D8. Fire Blast.
Yeah.
Okay, now if you're like, well, it's a larger creature.
I'm saying not blast. I'm saying...
No, I'm using this as a comparison.
Uh-huh.
You do a D6 plus that, and you're like, well, if it's a larger creature and my effect will hit multiple squares that it occupies, a number of multiple squares gives me a plus one on damage.
Okay.
Something like that. You would choose Burning Lance.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Yeah, because that way you're not getting the secondary splash effect, but you're still getting a splash effect. I feel good about that. Well, we can. I wrote it down. We'll table it for when we do step four, when we get into that, and we can decide what goes into that. Speaking of step four, how do we feel about changing decay to death?
I like this one.
Okay, because my thinking is we can do fun stuff with necromancy then.
Yeah.
Like at step four, because we got rid of the shadow, but we can now... Because if you say death magic, that's literally the etymology of necromancy,
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
However, we talked about having a druid in a second iteration of this, and that could just be Path of Life.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because as a, you know, Radiance is not Path of Life. Radiance is Path of Solar Beam Flare,
right.
You know, sometimes does healing, sometimes roasts people's skin off. Whereas life would be, you know, growing things, helping animal. Well, you understand druids.
Yeah.
Here's my gripe about necromancy. In Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, in every tabletop setting we've done necromancy in, except with the exception of video games.
Uh-huh.
Playing a necromancer in Diablo is great. It
was tight.
It's not overpowered.
You could play it a couple different ways, too, and have a lot of fun with it.
Yep. I only did the Fire Golem, which doesn't really make sense from a necromancy standpoint, but...
I did two-handers and Bone Shield.
Yeah, Bone Shield's great, but you could raise an army of skeletons.
Yes, you could.
Now, I'm thinking a way to deal with the... So, for those of you unfamiliar, the problem with necromancy in Dungeons & Dragons and Pathfinder is that it becomes an incredibly, overly complex thing to manage. To even cast the spell to resurrect an undead, you have to manage a resource that has a fixed cost that eventually... As you level up, that cost is irrelevant because you could buy all the onyx in the world and still do it. But then you're carrying around how much onyx? Like, it's just that's to say nothing of managing the individual stats of all of the creatures that you're managing.
Which I hate.
Which is fun up to a point. For me, I would say that point is anything past three creatures.
Oh, I'm at one.
Yeah.
With one is like one is enough.
But that's my so me as a player, I like micromanaging my character to a certain extent. Past three is like, okay, now I'm at my limit. Like it's too much. In addition to that, so Pathfinder explicitly, you can make very powerful necromancers. But resurrecting a creature undead applies a template to its base stats, and you gotta learn what those are, and then you have to track all of those. I think the easiest way to solve this issue is, fuck all that, you can resurrect a certain kind of creature from the raw material. And we talked about this before.
Yeah.
So we need to decide, how often can they get a second minion, like an undead minion? And what are its powers? And maybe how many can they have at a time?
We got to ask Gru.
I figured it would be like...
Gru from Despicable Me?
Sort of like...
Oh, minions got it.
Sort of like a point-by system where you're like, you could have one big thing, or pretty big thing, and then a smaller thing, or three small things.
Like, maybe at level four, you can make one skeleton.
Okay.
But make the skeleton good. Now you don't need an army of skeletons, but you need to kill however many pounds of monster to create a skeleton.
And monsters with bones.
Yeah. Maybe not even necessarily. Just make it so that you need the death.
Okay.
To summon a skeleton.
And then if you make more skeletons, does each one consecutively get weaker? So if you had, just throwing it out there, if you had like 10 skeletons, those 10 together have the strength of just one if you had just one, because it takes more of your concentration.
So like the inverse law of ninjas?
Yes. Yes. No, that's exactly what it is. Thank you. I wasn't even thinking about that, but I think that's exactly true.
I think that's even more complicated than what I'm proposing. Let's say step four, you have one skeleton. Step six, you can get a second skeleton, or... You can have a intelligent caster, but in each step, you could say you could have two skeletons or one of these.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just very either or choice.
Okay. Yeah, because the other one, it's like you can have 38. So in Pathfinder and D&D, a lot of times it's like you can have 38 hit dice of undead. Distribute it as you can. You already see this is very complicated.
Yeah. I don't like when anything is amount of hit dice when they describe it that way, because it's an abstraction that doesn't need to exist.
Yeah, you as the character you don't know something's hit dice by looking at it.
Yeah.
Like you're walking through town, there's a fighter who's 20th level. You don't know that he's 20 hit dice, you know, like he's shopping.
So the idea of, all right, I have one skeleton and it's carrying shit, whatever I want it to do.
Sure.
And then it's like, all right, I finally got enough stuff. I could make another skeleton, which would be really useful, guys, right? Or, hear me out, we give him consciousness. And he just suddenly becomes like another member of our party. Are we cool with that? Then the group has to decide of whether they want to allow this. But then again, if you do that, who's going to play the skeleton?
No. Oh, the necromancer.
Is it an NPC?
The necromancer controls the skeleton. So yeah. What I'm thinking is,
so suddenly it gets the ability to cast spells on the necromancer's behalf.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. Yeah, I think if you could say you could have a skeleton, it could just do a basic melee attack.
Yeah, because
you put whatever weapon you want in its hand, but
if it levels up, what's it going to do? That's why I was like, does it get conscious or does it?
Oh, I don't. So in my mind, you weren't leveling up a skeleton. You would just be like, okay, dismissed.
Building a bigger beast.
Yeah, you're just like dismissed, and it turns to ash, and then you're like, all right, here's a new thing. From this one, we're going to pull up a ghost sorcerer or something. You know?
Oh, okay. I thought
revenant.
I thought you were talking more of like we're going to reinforce his hinges there, his joints.
Oh.
That's a cool idea too.
And he's going to get smarter.
Slowly build a Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
That would be a really fun campaign.
Maybe his stats are dependent on yours, and then that's something that happens.
That's not bad.
It'd be fucked up if his stats are dependent on yours, he's basically becoming another you, and when he gets conscious enough, he wants to murder you. But that's the risk you run.
He doesn't even have a brain.
I know, but you got to put a brain in there eventually, but that's the risk you run when you're playing with necromancy.
I don't know. So
can we not Sith Lord this? I don't.
I'm not talking about Sith Lording. I'm just saying.
That's how Skeletor happened.
Yeah. No.
Just the idea of like, what am I? And it's more just straight up Frankenstein, really. It's not.
Think of it as more of a puppet than a...
Right.
Yeah. So speaking of it, you being a puppet master, on your turn, if you have a skeleton, maybe it could take opportunity attacks with whatever you give it. It gets some kind of modifier to its attack based on your stats. So that way it's simple. Like everybody knows what it will be. It's not flat because your campaigns can be more difficult. If you want it to take an action, you are the one taking the action. You are commanding this puppet to act. So if you want it to attack on your turn, it takes your attack action to do so.
What about just making it move?
It takes your move action.
So I have to stay still. If it moves, we both can't move at the same time?
Right, because you are using your ability as a caster to move it. You're spending whatever action it would take to move it instead.
It's like unholy command. I like it.
But it's also like, I know that sounds less advantageous, but when you think about how squishy casters are, that's great.
Yeah, if you give it a shield and tell it to just stand in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or give it a pike. and like it goes nowhere near me. And then like later on down the path of decay or the path of death now, you could just be like, your skeletons can now do X.
Yeah.
If you have two skeletons present, they get this. Something like that.
Ooh, yeah. Get on each other's shoulders.
Mecha Shiva.
They carry you just like a pangolin or not a palanquin. What is it?
Palanquin. Yeah.
Palanquin. Mm-hmm. Not a pangolin.
That would be fun.
I've heard it called the palanquin. Which I have no idea if that's correct, but I remember I heard that and I was like, ugh.
It's one of those words you read, because who the fuck's talking about them?
I think you should be able to split up your move, though, between the two of you.
I imagine if you could, like, this one moves two, this one moves three, and I have one move left, so I move one.
Yeah.
You could do that.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any issue with that. And then maybe later on, you're like, oh, well, if you have two skeletons out, your movement speed split across the total of you, as long as they're all present, goes up by two, something like that.
Yeah, that's a good bonus to have. Because then even when it's just you and one skeleton, the idea of like, okay, danger's happening. Do I want to run six spaces alone, or do I run three spaces with my skelly bro?
Right.
That's the value. I like having to make that decision.
And could
that's
they nice. Carry stuff for you?
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah.
Could they carry you?
That would be very uncomfortable.
That's true. Yeah,
they wear a little saddle.
Yeah. For both of you.
They carry a chair on their shoulders that you sit on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just ride into town like that, you're going to get attention,
dude,
I'm sure.
Actually, I like just the idea of like, I summon a skeleton throne that walks. Like, fuck yeah.
All right. I like that. We'll think about that a little more. So here's a big change that we can put in more immediately. Sneak attack.
Uh-huh.
Right, I think I want to change the name to ambush tactics because I think sneak attack is something anyone can do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you surprise somebody and you attack them, you benefit from sneak attack.
Sorry, you said the skeleton chair that walks. I'm like, are you going to call it Mr. Bones' Wild Ride?
I give him a trumpet.
I got to get all right. I had to get it out. Okay,
doot doot.
They just like you. For some reason, you can't like they're not your skeleton. Like you tell your skeleton to walk somebody around, and he's just like, I want to get off, Mr. Bones. Wild Ride.
Exactly. So you run a corrupt mayor out of town. Just put him on that. And just. All right, just go until you fall apart.
All right, if sneak attack is something anyone can do, the rules of sneak attack, how do we feel about it? It's just 2d6.
Okay, and ambush tactics, the thing that's interesting is it just allows you to get sneak attack more often.
I think ambush tactics change with the kind of weapon you're using.
Okay.
So when you use a piercing weapon while you have the upper hand, you can treat it as a sneak attack.
Okay.
When you use a cutting weapon, maybe every time that your hit makes it through the armor, you deal D4 bleed and it stacks with every successful hit once per round. So it takes a while for that to catch up with sneak attack.
But that will get crazy.
If combat lasts long, I mean, that mole.
Yeah.
No way. Like, sneak attack will always be better.
So just, we're talking about an ambush, meaning what's the difference? I mean, I know in reality what the difference is between an ambush and a sneak attack, but like, game-wise, we're talking about just taking the enemy that was unexpected, like they're off guard?
I forgot to preface this. The ambush tactics would be the scoundrel core feature.
Okay, okay.
So scoundrels get ambush tactics. When they have the upper hand and they're doing a piercing attack, okay, they can use sneak attack. When they are using a cutting attack, they will deal stacking bleed.
Right.
When they're using a, and this is the tough one, a bashing attack, how do we feel about, maybe it lowers the enemy's dodge?
Ooh.
And you can add their endurance to the damage or prevent attacks of opportunity, something like that. Some sort of status effect with a small damage buff that makes sense for you kind of rattling them.
In fact, just calling it rattled is not bad.
I like lowering the enemy's dodge.
Yeah.
Because if you hit them in a tin can or without even, they're not going to...
Yeah, whether they're armored or not, getting hit with a bashing weapon will slow you down.
Yeah. Unless you're launching them into the, you know, into the next room.
Right.
I dig that. Either that...
So maybe just lowering their dodge and you add flat endurance as damage?
Ooh, that's solid.
Or their speed, maybe?
Hmm.
I think lowering dodge is much better.
Yeah.
Because you hit them, if you hit them good one time, you could probably hit them again.
And everyone else.
And if they try to leave, an attack of opportunity, well, you know.
It makes the bashing option a cool...
It's a tactical choice.
Yeah, that becomes a tactical group, like almost like pseudo-defensive. Like it's offensive through other characters. So that immediately sounds fun for command.
Well, but it's core scoundrel.
Yeah.
And it takes something that you wouldn't automatically picture with a scoundrel, like a bashing weapon.
Which is what you would, if you're thinking like, if scoundrel, you're thinking somebody who's clever and underhanded.
Like a sapper or blackjack.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a nightstick or something. Yeah.
Just bashing weapons have been very good in our game, I've noticed. Like, we've never really gotten fucked up by anyone with like a pot on a chain or anything.
Yeah, well, the enemies haven't really used too many of those yet.
That shit...
No, that shit sucked.
When it was just flying out of the smoke, that was fucking insane.
So, okay, I'm gonna take away that it prevents them from getting attacks of opportunity then. Mm-hmm. So it's just lowers their dodge by, what, two? Two is good.
Two is solid, and it could scale.
I don't know if our game scales though.
AC doesn't really scale. No need to.
So, all right. So it lowers their dodge and deals endurance as extra damage.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's if you have the upper hand.
Because that two to dodge can be a big...
10% easier to hit for everybody.
That might be their armor. It could be...
Not to mention, if you're using a bashing weapon, you're already getting through their armor a little bit.
Yeah, you're biting, yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. Before we get into really big world building, here is a fundamental piece of world building that we haven't even talked about. Calendars. Tracking time.
Oh, I remember looking at the notes, and I'm like, I already don't want to do this.
All right.
I can't track time in the real world. How the hell?
All right, so my thinking is...
Can we make it just as simple as possible, please?
I think yes and no. Yes, in that I think the system is simple. No, in that I want it to matter what day it is, because it'll matter for the next part of this world building we're about to do.
All right.
Which is holidays, religions, all of that.
Yeah.
So if you divide our year... So our year is currently 365 days, which is inconvenient for math.
Yes.
365 and a quarter. And then a quarter again, I think. A quarter of a quarter.
Well, we can change it because the world's different, and I'm sure our orbit is going to change.
We have another moon.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, yeah. So,
Let's make it 364 flat.
Yeah. There okay. You go.
So then we divide it into four 90-day months.
All right.
That span seasons. And then there are 4 days, the days between each month, that don't belong to any month.
Okay. That's interesting. I actually kind of like that.
So.
Because it's very idiosyncratic.
Right. And I was thinking weeks could be 10 days long, because now there's 9 weeks per month.
Mm-hmm. We have to change some of the language with how we describe things.
Correct.
All right. That last 2 weeks, that just got longer, significantly longer.
Yeah, I don't want to change it, though.
Oh, fuck you.
It's fun. Got 6 days longer.
2 weeks is 20 days. That's an extra week. That's one third.
That's almost a month.
That's one third worse for everything that's 2 weeks long.
Let's try it before we change it.
It was already so long.
We can just say it lasts for a certain number of days, then.
Yeah.
A fixed number of days. Okay.
14 days.
Shit.
I'm just saying, 20 days of being concussed. That
I'm going to tell you,
that's a halt on that.
Too realistic.
Yeah. No, it's too realistic because it would just halt a whole campaign.
Yep. Because
if you're playing that character, you're like, I'm not doing shit. Yeah, fuck off.
I'm retiring from adventure. You got one good hit in. Step one on
I'm done.
I used to be an adventurer like you, but then somebody hit me with a stone.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be over.
Yeah, because you would. Yeah, I would. I'd be done. I'm out of here.
Someone put a rock in a sock, swung and hit you. And now I run the general store.
Yeah.
Doctor said I take one more hit like that and it could be lights out forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't slept well since I got hit.
My vision's been blurred in this eye ever since.
Most of the world should be populated with that, but like,
why wouldn't
people go on adventures? And then there's just a shit ton of people who are...
Just missing arms, legs, real life where they're like, oh yeah, no, I just have shrapnel in me forever. And you're like, really? I thought this was the future. And they're like, no, it's just in there forever. And you're like, gross.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm terrible at math in general.
Okay.
So saying, all right, there's 4 days that don't belong between months and there's 90 days for each quarter. And I'm like, couldn't we just make it base 10 for everything? Instead of saying like weird days, floating holidays that don't really...
You could, except for that. The only reason I included those was because I like the idea of floating holidays. So they don't float. They don't move.
I know, but I'm just using it, you would be like,
and I don't have names for them yet, but they were like, Firefall is ending. We're waiting for Gelwyn's Day, you know, and that bridges Firefall with Starrise or whatever.
They would be the equinox and solstice, right?
Because there's two equinoxes and two solstices.
That would be the beginning. That's the longest day, the shortest day, and then the 2 days
two
that are
equal.
Completely, yeah.
I'm into that. You want to do that?
It would also completely explain why you would naturally assume that they would just be like, that's why they would resort it that way and why those days are their own thing.
Cool. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. So we need to come up with, once we do some more world building, the names of the 4 months, the names of the 10 days, and the names of the 4 days.
All right.
I think on the solstices, should be a regular day. But on equinox, there can be no violence.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck convincing all the animals.
Anti-purge is a terrible idea.
Anti-purge.
You have to be nice on this day. You have to be nice. But then it's going to be like those girls where you're like, it's my birthday weekend. You know, and you're like
that's, we can't
it's not
fight.
A thing. It's my birthday month.
Fuck,
like, fuck you.
Guys, my birthday week is 10 days now.
And then the slaughtering. The slaughtering just starts... Everybody's
right,
sick
yeah.
of it.
So what do we call what is now functionally like December 24th? Is that the solstice?
We don't... Okay, let's not worry about this.
Yeah. All right.
Let's not worry about making the analog a real day in our time.
Okay. The only reason I want to think about it that way is for the temper... Like, I figure they'd be named after the temperature or the season or the way it feels.
Maybe. Or political leaders. Or just like they are in our world.
Mm-hmm.
August is Augustus.
Yeah.
You know, July.
But that had to do with...
Thursday's Thor's
That had
Day.
To do with a religious thing and the a Western canon that exists through a single culture where, like, we're dealing with multiple races where they just be like, why do the guff call it after that Tolden asshole?
Maybe the common parlance mixes a bunch of different shit like it does in reality.
All right.
So, like, we have Nordic weekday names.
Mm-hmm.
We have... the Gregorian, you know, calendar outside of that.
And it's a mess.
Our months are Latin numbers with the names of Roman leaders mixed in.
I am so angry that October is not the 8th month, November is not the 9th month, and December is not the 10th month. From as soon as I like found Latin root words out, I was just furious. We're like, you son of a fucking bitch. This would have been so easy.
Yep.
It's Augustus's fault.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is. And I'm angry at him.
There's a lot of reasons to be.
Octavian, right? Same guy.
So. His name is Octavian. Just make it October. You already have October. Fuck off.
Just change. Yeah.
It's not good enough.
You get two new months. That must have been a bitch like the first day, right?
I watched a Matt Coville video about this where he talks about different ways that people have done it in their games. And in one game, a year, every day had a unique name in a year.
Oof.
Which sounds terrible, but his example was like, there's a day that's just called bread.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I was born on bread of this year. And in our world, calendars were not mixed until the Romans, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So
Catholics have that calendar.
Yeah.
Each day is a new saint.
They weren't mixed, and people would just say, oh, it's the 472nd year of this dynasty, whatever that is. And then...
Even Lord of the Rings is like, they have different ages.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I'm thinking we can do that too. What year is it in our campaign? I think it is the year since the Doom of the Savathians.
I was going to say the Doom would be the last great event where you're like, well, this is where...
It's a new world now.
This is where the modern world starts.
I say, and it's negative 12. Let's just say negative 12. Negative to what? No, we don't know.
We know it's coming, though. But there could be Sears.
There's always that guy who puts out a new book every year that is like, in year zero, it's going to happen.
Shit's going to hit the fan.
Yeah.
But would the Akhenoteans also have their own...
I think the Akhenoteans are the ones who are trying to create standards.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're like people have them, and they're the ones who have been trying to just be like, we're bringing civilization to you. So, like, everybody's got their own shit.
Like, literally, like, okay, so you have an entire civilization, and all of a sudden, Savathians everywhere just wash up on shore. That's an immigration problem. That's a huge culture clash. You have a medical problem. This is a crisis.
And the Savathians, up until then, were a world influence.
Yeah.
They were the major power, right?
Yeah, they were the major power, and then they vanished.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, they all show up all at once.
100 years later.
Yeah, so that's a world-changing event. So starting at that, that's year one of the new order of whatever's happening.
I think year zero is when the Savathians vanished.
Yeah.
Oh, year zero is when they vanished.
Yeah, the doom happened.
I thought you meant like as they return, this is year one of a new...
Because you would, at that time, be like, whoa, the world power is gone.
Yeah.
Like, here's a new age where we have to, like, kind of rebuild on our own.
Okay, no, I like that. You know? And then
Savathians show back up, and they don't know anything about it, so they're just as involved in the reconstruction.
Yeah.
That can even be the point where, like, the Akhenotian Empire might have existed, but they were a minor player in a minor area, and they're like, oh, we have a lot of territory now we just have influence over because we're just sort of there already.
Yeah. And they're the ones setting standards. They're integrationists. They do that kind of thing. So, kind of like Rome, you know, we use a lot of Roman shit.
They had a good empire. A
couple times.
Yeah.
Until it wasn't.
Had a lot of bad emperors. A
bunch of times.
They almost had a good republic.
So now that I've kind of put the seed in your head of different calendar, it's based on events that happened and the naming of those things.
And we know what year zero is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was roughly how many years ago from our current point in our campaign?
How about we say 372?
Okay.
Works.
Let's try even more. Let's say...
Ooh, really? So every Savathian... Or most Savathians alive have at least 372 years of living behind them now?
Not necessarily. They could have been born while... they just disappeared. We don't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean...
Let's make it closer to when they arrived. So maybe it's been 50 years since then.
Okay, so I like that. Like 150-ish?
Maybe 100... Because I want it to be a little bit further. So like maybe like 152. Like 100, 150, 180. Because it could have been like 80 years ago. They still like... You imagine they didn't even know how to speak.
Yeah.
They didn't know anything.
Even around 200 is fine.
Let's say 172. So it's year 172 of what age?
The new age?
No.
Preceded by the former new age.
Oh, it's the modern era? Now we're in the postmodern era.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
The Tolden.
Well, you don't want to say like the second age or third age because it's like, wait, unless...
No.
Unless
they don't know how many ages there have been.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. They know how long the last age...
The age, right?
Yeah. They know they probably can find out how long the last age lasted.
And they might have vague knowledge of the previous age. And with maybe the most important thing to understand is that wasn't the first.
I mean, from their perspective, it's like, look, the world was a fuck mess, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to have to start counting at some point. It may as well be now.
Is this the Akhenotian age?
You just maybe just call it the pre-Akhenotian age or something?
Or the post-Doom age?
Yeah, I was thinking, what about like the age of remembering?
Ooh.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Because they would want it to sound hopeful.
Yeah.
The age of...
Because the
age of building, the age of reconstruction, the age of binding together, age of
rebirth,
sort of uniting.
Ascension, apotheosis.
The ascension age sounds pretty cool.
Could be.
Because that sounds like a revolution. Like, that sounds like an industrial revolution, but culturally.
I think age of ascension is a thing in tabletop gaming.
In real life, yeah, probably.
The Akhenotian Empire rose, and suddenly the Guff, who everyone thought was kind of like wild men, show up, and they're like, no, we can talk.
Yeah, hey, yeah, it's a nice little civilization you got building there. It's a shame something bad happened to it.
We're going to steal some of it.
Yeah.
Actually.
I'm glad that you've been holding on to that for us. Why don't you hand it back over?
That's exactly what happened.
We'll call it Age of Memories.
That sounds like the past,
age of discovery.
Ooh, I like that.
Age of discovery is good. The age of memory would be like the previous, you know,
Because they've forgotten everything is the idea. Uncovering.
I want it to be a little more highfalutin because we're talking about historians who are naming things and they like to have fun. They're not physicists.
The illumination age.
Yeah, the illuminated age, the age of illumination.
Their biggest thing is they've forgotten everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the races kind of lost that knowledge when the Savathians left because they just did everything. They're thinking about how that this is all, they're going to have to rebuild the world, basically. Yeah.
The age of the clean slate.
We got along fine without you, Dad. Now you just come back into our lives acting like, oh, you forget everything. Now you need our help to take care of you. Fuck off.
Exactly.
Tabula rasa. What about, like...
The age... I mean, they're maturing. The age of maturation or...
Relearning.
The... Yeah. Just making things even, like... If an empire suddenly disappears and everyone has a better chance.
The Etch-a-Sketch age.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you...
You say the age of the even playing field. Like, what are terms for that?
Yeah.
The age of equity.
Age of equity.
Yeah. I was saying that. Or like a culling, thinning of the herd, or like a, like a controlled burn.
I like equity just because it sounds just fancy enough.
Yeah.
For them what to if be that like, is a...
Yes.
My 72 of this age of equity.
My degree.
Yeah, because Empire fell.
Yeah.
Everyone got a better chance that they thought to do what they wanted to do.
The people's age, am I right?
Yeah, that could be a church term.
Or maybe some kind of temple, people's temple.
Yeah.
They could serve delicious drinks, sweetened by sugar.
Yeah, some punch.
Yeah.
Call it kick. Give me some of that kick. All right. Yo, someone spiked the kick.
Tastes like almonds. Sorry, listeners.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so year 70, year 172 of the Age of Equity.
Wait, I like it.
We going to name our months now?
No.
Okay.
So.
It's just, we're going to name them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Charles.
Where's the fifth month in heaven?
The fifth month conspirators?
Oh, oh God.
The fifth month Adventists. 11th day Adventist.
I love that Scarab's song, 11 days a week.
Good. I really prefer the tumbling minerals.
That's such a bro thing to say.
All right, so we now have a continent map.
Uh-huh.
A pretty good one. We will get a little artsy fartsy in it later, but right now I'm pulling it up here. Where is the Akinosian Empire?
Okay. Selfishly, I need it to connect to at least one point.
This river?
Show you on the map, yes.
Jarnesia?
We're talking to that mic, bro.
All right, let's narrate this. Max is looking at the iPad very intently.
But his mouth is not facing the microphone.
And it's slightly a gap.
Let's see if he closes that gap.
He does not. Good show.
Bold move on the finger movement.
Now there's a lot of tongue action going as he's searching through the... It's getting a little sensual, honestly.
Okay, big green right there. Jimsel, I need Akinosian Empire to be...
The seat of the Akinosian Empire?
No, just okay. A tendril.
Okay. So let's make... I was thinking... So I was looking at this map, and it's broken up into countries that have been randomly named, either in Jarnsia, Caria, or Goemio. We can rename these two.
Yeah.
I said those names don't mean shit to me if
Goemio,
I'm looking at a map.
I do want to rename because I want to never have to pronounce that ever again.
Three of those three things coming together?
Yeah. We have Jarnsia, Bloomton, and Goemio.
Yeah, change that.
Is that the gray one?
Yeah.
And what's the pink area in the middle there?
Jarnsia.
And was that just like a city-state? What is that?
It's just a name. We didn't name these.
Right. I'm just saying the size of it would suggest that it's not part of... Is that like the Vatican? Like it's its own country?
There are countries and regions and like political groups. So Jarnsia is fully encased. And if you see, there's colors that go over into Jarnsia.
Weird. Yeah.
Those are cultural.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Now, we don't have to pay attention to those.
Right. Obviously. It's just fun, though. Just, you know, yeah. Okay.
We could call it something. I like Jarnesia, maybe?
Jarnesia sounds better.
Okay.
And it's easier for me to say.
So we're going to make it Jarnesia.
Hrod also have to be close to the water as well, right?
Not really.
There could be swampland.
Well, they have the Egyptian-style culture that relied on...
There's other cultures, though. There's Bayou culture, and I forget what the other one was.
It's true, yeah.
I would say the mega structure, Egyptian-esque
monolithic stuff. Yeah,
by the sea, by rivers. Good idea. Bayou could be anywhere though. Really, you can make weird swamp land out of just like most of Siberia.
The Pripyat lizard people in Ukraine.
The ones who take crocodile. The Echinocean Empire is in Jarnesia.
Just Jarnesia?
No, it's its seat.
So we don't want to just call the homeland Echinocia.
I would figure that would be the name of the empire. Like
it's kind of like China, and then when
but it's like you say,
there was Great Britain, but then when they got big enough, they're the United Kingdom. Like they like,
but it was still the British Empire.
Well, I'm thinking
colloquially,
the Echinocean Empire. Maybe its main city is named Echinos, just like Rome.
Yeah.
But its tendrils spread out everywhere, even to places that are really far to get to and inconvenient, just because I was thinking about their structure. Maybe their thing is that they will say, you can join our empire. You'll be given these things and this amount of support, given on what we can provide. However, you will have to give up certain things, but it's equitable. And it's almost like the Federation in the original Star Trek, where they show up and they're like, you can have it. And they're like, no, they're like, that's fine.
Bye.
If you change your mind, let us know. We will build a road to Echinos.
And that's the high-minded, ideal version.
Yes.
And this ain't the DS9 version.
No, I think they are.
Political reality of.
I think they are ruthless. But right now they're at a spot where they're only talking to people where it can be amicable.
Especially now they're torn asunder.
Yeah, it would seem like, okay, we could grab this land and these people. What are we going to get out of it? How much would it cost to take it? That doesn't work.
Let's just
like
make them an offer.
Yeah, the math doesn't work out. And there's like, oh, they say no. Well, but there's other people to talk to. There's other deals to be made.
And you we're going to talk to the people who live next door to you.
Exactly. Yeah. You just recruit everyone around them until you're Daniel Plainview. Like, why don't I own this?
You're like, you can't cross through these areas. You can't use our roads.
Pay the hefty toll that you can't afford.
Yeah.
And we're going to tell all the neighboring villages around you not to trade with you.
No, I think they will definitely make it so that you can afford it because they want your money.
Yeah,
like that's their thing is like, no, that's fine. You just have to pay the tolls when you use our roads or don't use them. You don't have to use them.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are the best and the fastest and protect
the most protectable.
Yeah, exactly. So
you don't get the decoder ring.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you can't hold that magic ring up to our signs and know which way to go.
And it says, drink more Ovaltine.
Okay, so the Echinocean Empire, there's the city of Echinos in Jarnesia, where it's located.
Sounds good.
Is it on a river?
Yeah. I think I want to move it, so you highlighted a river for your campaign, Max. I want to move it to that one, because it's way bigger.
Yeah, let me check. Yeah, I'm not using that river anymore. You go ahead.
Okay.
I do want to leave a large-ish uncharted area that we don't really know that much about.
That's fine. Well, remember, this is just one continent.
Yeah, I figured that would be the other continents. In fact, we have a hidden continent.
That's true. Yeah. I'm already just trying to plan what my potential campaign would be. And
good.
Airships would be plausible at this technology level.
Yeah, I just think it's unlikely. Maybe the Savathians could have.
Especially if you've got a skeleton crew with that necromancer.
Three necromancers on a ship, man. You got that place fully stocked.
A necromancer?
Put it in a pot, baby. You got a studio.
Yeah, all right. A necromancer on an airship with a literal skeleton crew is pretty badass.
I do want to say this. I think outside of combat, you should be able to make your skeleton just do like menial tasks without having to watch it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. If it's just, you know.
Yeah, he's like, hey, run that rigging. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, pitch a tent. And then build a campfire.
Yeah, but if you have to do something super complicated, then it can't do that thing anymore.
I would agree. Yeah.
Ooh.
You just sit there with like your hood over your eyes in a hammock and just
direct your skeletons.
Yeah, like when Mickey fell asleep moving the broomsticks. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You could be like Brave Sir Robin and have coconuts behind you.
Click, 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 click. Just for effect.
Okay. All right. I like this. So we've got a location for the Echinocean Empire. It's in the country of Jarnesia.
Who owns Echinos? Which brother?
That's okay. What was the last emperor's name, the one who died?
Aki Echinos.
Malachi.
How about Gaelron?
I like that.
G-A-Y.
Gowron. Great.
Gowron, yeah. G-A-Y-L-R-O-N. Gaelron.
Sure.
Throwing some umlauts in that shit. Make it fantasy.
Okay. And I need some apostrophes.
Oh, yeah.
Gaelron. And what are the two brothers' names? Should maybe they end in Ron? So we got Captain Ron.
Yeah.
And Ron.
A Ron. I got in a weird fight one day about, I'm like, Captain Ron is a very funny movie. And someone's like, no, shut up. It isn't. It's a really bad movie. And I'm like, I think you need to rewatch that.
It's a great
movie.
I can't imagine people being angry about Captain Ron.
Yeah.
I said it was one of my favorite movies and they got very offended.
They're like, they got to loosen up.
He's like, how could that be true? I'm like, because there's gorillas in the jungle.
I also like Cabin Boy.
Ooh.
That's a good movie. That's a movie worth fighting over.
How about Kiliron?
Kiliron.
K-I-L-I-R-O-N. Kiliron? Kiliron? And then...
Nirion.
Nirion. Okay.
With a silent A at the beginning.
Okay. I like it. And an apostrophe, just for good measure. Mm-hmm. So Kiliron and Nirion.
I hate silent letters so much.
Who is the younger brother who is smarter?
Kiliron.
I was going to say Nirion.
Oh, okay. Doesn't go Nirion.
Let's flip for it.
Okay. All right, so Nirion is the younger. What do the citizens call them? Like, do they have a...
Crown Prince?
Well, no, I was thinking...
like nickname?
Nicknames for them, like ones who are for them and ones who are the supposed
ones. Smart one and the dumb one.
Oh, like...
Depending on who you talk to, one's the other
the
one.
The Tories or the, like, political party?
I think in Game of Thrones, they call Robb Stark the Young Wolf.
Josh was going... I mean, oh, wait. What do they call the nicknames for the individuals?
Yes.
Okay.
So I think they opposed... They can call Nirion the usurper.
Yeah.
What was the church again?
Kiliron the Krex lover, because he like totally married a Krex chick and...
can't have babies.
Yeah. And they're just like, what are you doing, man? This is the Akhenotian Empire. You're going off and marrying a Krex? Word love! You wouldn't understand!
It's bird love. It's
what's bird the name love. The name
she
of
poops
the
out of the hole you...
Don't even...
The name of the church.
Baratus, the one you're talking
Baratus.
About?
Baratus. Maybe that one could be like the champion of Baratus or something. His supporters were why the younger son should take over because Baratus has chosen him.
No, the king chose him.
Yeah, but the king would say, yeah, God did it.
Would he? Are they that involved with their god? I don't know if the Akhenotian Empire is that religion driven. I imagine some prime political conflict in the Akhenotian Empire comes from different religions within it.
Yeah.
Okay. But the Church of Baratus should also be split. All the churches should be split. In Akhenotian sure. land, yeah.
So Nirion followers call him...
Be like Walgreens and CVS. There's just like two in every freaking town.
The Builder?
The Builder.
The Engineer.
I like that. The Engineer, the Builder, the...
The Restorer. Because there's already a brand, the Builder.
The Contractor.
And Bob. Mm-hmm. Bob the Builder.
Oh, I forgot about Bob. Dora the Explorer.
Instead of like Builder, because it's like, that's just...
Engineer. Put down engineer. It's great.
Something more like a visionary of some kind. He has a vision. It's not just like we're literally building roads. Like
the planner.
Ooh.
And the dreamer's a little fanciful.
The comptroller.
I like that. Because a comptroller.
The accountant.
Well, a comptroller runs accountants. He's the boss accountant.
He's pursuing a vision, you know.
Mm-hmm. The dreamer.
No.
I kind of do like the dreamer, but he is the sensible one.
It's too much of a John Lennon vibe.
Yeah.
Ugh. Fuck that guy.
You have very strong opinions on people you've never met.
I usually just make them up as soon as someone says their name.
Somebody who goes out and is like planning not just roads.
The loyal.
Munificent. Nirion the Munificent. It means larger or more generous than is usual or necessary.
All right.
But that's not the reason why he was picked, which I feel like that's the thing that needs to lead it in. Is that he's smart.
The clever.
The wise.
Again, wise, vanilla.
Mm. Yeah. Sagacious.
What about the gift?
The erudite.
Enlightened.
The perceptive.
Regular del mundo.
Enlightened's not bad.
Because enlightened is like, he knows the answer. He's going to get us the answer.
Yeah, and plus, enlightened, he sees the future. Not literally, but like he has a, like he has awakened this idea in his head of like, oh man, we could do better than this if we just do this. Like, I've been enlightened by this dream I had or this vision.
Okay, so let's go with that. Let's go with enlightened because we need to move on.
The guff.
Yeah. And the other brother who's not really doing so hot, he's like, no, we gotta make Akhenotia great again. We gotta stick with the old ways. The old ways are probably best.
Well, I feel like...
It's been working great for us so far. We gotta stick with that.
It shouldn't be that easy for the players to be like, oh, this is a political analog. Let's pick one. I think the other brother is a proven leader. Like, unequivocally is good at what he does, but it's a different direction.
The Sword of Akhenosh.
What's the direction?
The direction is he's a proven war leader. He's also the first in line for the throne, and they buck tradition to give it to his younger brother because his brother is better with math and stuff like that. But he's like...
So the younger brother is in charge?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, but they split, and now there's a civil war.
So there's no one sitting on the throne? They're still deciding? Or like,
well, no. The younger brother is sitting on the throne. The younger brother sitting on the throne was coronated, all that. Mm-hmm. But the older brother...
Had enough military power to carve out his own area.
And there are people who... And I imagine the two brothers have some kind of agreement where they're like, you're still all Akhenotian citizens. We're, you know, doing this thing, but, you know, I'm trying to get the usurper off my throne. I'm going to ask him to...
Peacefully step down.
Yeah, peacefully step down. that kind of thing. And then Nerian is like, I wish he would just see reason. I would give him everything, you know, if he just came to my side, you know, that kind of thing. Where it's not
he wants to go out there conquering. I want him to do it for Akinosha, for our purposes, not for what he wants.
But the first time I told him no, he split off.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which might be true. Who knows? You know, like that's maybe if the conflict is more gray, if it's like that.
Oh, absolutely.
It's more fun to kind of pit people against each other, and people in the world have very strong opinions about either of them.
I got strong opinions about Skyrim because I think that shit's obvious.
Yeah, I think it's obvious too.
Empire.
No.
Yeah.
No. What? Neither.
Yeah. No.
What?
Empire.
Neither.
You don't get to pick neither.
Yes, you do. absolutely do. You can divide up Skyrim to get them to stop.
No. Yeah, but either way.
You got to kill them dirty, golden-skinned bastards.
I don't often agree with
Lynn. Well, I mean, I always do. I always do.
Are
kill
you the Stormcloak
them.
At the table?
No, I'm the Empire.
Okay, about to say. Why you
no, the Empire is the only thing that can stand against Somerset Isles.
I agree. So, like, what? Yeah. What the fuck's the problem?
The Stormcloaks are an obvious Russian gambit.
So, okay. They call him the Enlightened, and they call Kiliran the what?
The tall.
The bold.
The guardian.
The shield.
It has to be something a little backhanded. Just a little bit. The brash.
That's too backhanded.
You think so?
That's too... That's
mostly
that is
used
never,
in a negative.
That is, never used as a positive.
Oh, you're so brash.
It's yeah.
Like, it's like brassy.
Oh, you brute.
Brazen? That's better. Not it's not
better. The better. Bold is better than
bold is too positive.
Yeah.
Bold is almost always positive. Brazen is it can run the line more than brash.
Yeah.
The ambiguous.
Because there's cocksure.
Yeah.
Which I just don't feel that's not in their vernacular.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's not that's not common parlance.
That something like strong.
The conqueror.
Really cuz that seems like the most straightforward.
But an arrogant is too much too.
Yeah. The confident?
I just want brazen.
Brazen
just
works.
Go brazen.
Brazen works.
Nerian's followers call him the Enlightened and his brother the Brazen. Kiliran, they probably don't even use the same vernacular. So they say they call him...
The Pretender.
They call Kiliran the Sword of Akinosh. Because I think Kiliran's best argument is, the people love me.
Yeah.
And I know that you're good at being a fucking bean counter, and that's good. But when people look to their leader, they want the person who has experience and they like.
You and know, like, it was my job to begin with. You just took it.
Yeah. I've traveled more of the Empire in my 20s than you will ever see. Yeah.
And the idea that you just took this job, it's supposed to be me. The law says it's supposed to be me. If you make this legal, what's to stop an outsider from taking it in the future?
Yeah. Oathbreaker.
I like Pretender.
Pretender.
Because I like the Pretenders.
Defiler.
The upstart.
I almost think they resent his perceived intelligence.
Like he's conceited. Then?
Think of like, oh, this fucking bean counter, those eggheads,
fucking
that kind of thing.
Eron the nerd.
Fucking Nerion nerd. The nerd.
Geekimus Maximus.
The virgin.
The virgin.
The virgin king.
Just like, oh, guys, it's
so fucking, true, guys.
Fucking virgin sitting on the throne.
Boffin. Maybe they could call him the sage.
Okay.
Something like that. Bookworm.
Well, they call him the professor and, like, the real dig.
Yeah.
Oh, the fucking professor's talking again. You call someone who gives false...
false information? Kelton Mandigrove.
You call him the suckling sage?
Prove it.
Yeah. The blowhard. The
sapling sage?
Yeah.
Sapling sage. Sapling's I like that.
Pretty good.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, more words from the sapling sage. How dare you?
Oh, rather.
How dare you? If I weren't so enlightened, I would punch your face, sir.
So instead I will order it, you hanged.
Instead, I will... God, punch that man in the face!
Strike him, Centurion!
Strike him! There we are!
So, guys, we are committing the ultimate...
Sin?
Party faux pas. Fake animal hands. Yeah. We already talked about politics.
Yep.
We're talking about religion now.
All right.
Well, this one's different because it's true.
Yeah. Plus one momentum, Doug. So, let's start with three basic mythologies. And I think we can't start with those without talking about the culture first. We have cultures. We created some.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pick
We created
some.
Many.
So, let's go to our cultures. Let's pick three.
Harad Megalolithic.
Well, we've got three Harad cultures. We've got the...
We're picking the three main religions, though, right?
Sure. So, the Megalithic, because they're old, right? So, those are the...
And distinct.
Those are the Mera.
Okay.
The Kadon, which are the desert-faring nomads that Esmond is part of.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the Piro, which are the Bayou based. So, all right, I'm cool with that. We'll make the Mira our first. They live at the convergence of subtropical river valleys, build massive temples. They care about long timelines, family histories, that kind of thing. Kind of like dwarves.
Straight up ancestral worship is not
Yeah. Okay. So we'll pick them. Who else do we have? I kind of want...
The Hedonists?
I was thinking the Larsa.
Okay.
Who we're using for a couple things already. They're the Eshwin. The Larsa are the military and religious. They recruit the sick, dying, and disenfranchise of their enemies by creating hospitals and relief efforts before gradually eroding their borders and invading en masse. They are nighttime boogeymen of children's stories meant to warn against their predatory kindnesses. I think that they are a militaristic wing of a greater religion.
Okay. Yes.
Knights Hospitalier, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do the Mera, the Larsa.
And then Baratus.
I think we should stay away from the Akhenotian Empire. Maybe Baratus is Akhenotian.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking they're kind of young. And maybe if we want to influence the world in a larger sense, let's deal with the larger stuff.
The older religions?
Yeah. The ones that they made it past the doom.
Okay.
They survived the doom.
Sea gods.
So I like the sea stuff. So we have
maybe the guff?
The floating city.
The religions that we create are going to span multiple races, right? So if we go sea, then we get the gelt, otters that live in glaciers, and the wolverines and badgers and stuff like that that can cross over into a water-based pantheon. But I think we should focus on the guff probably adopted this. This is an old religion that they learned from other seafarers, and it's just part of their culture now. And we're talking about the sign, right? The C-Y-N-E?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Mira are subtropical, but care about ancestor worship. The Larsa operate on a idea of missionary work, right?
Errands of mercy?
Right, exactly. In the way that...
In service to
Doctors
what?
Without Borders?
Well, we don't know yet. But we're trying to think of the needs, like what they care about, and then what embodies that for them.
Because if you ease suffering... You can make friends, turn enemies, you know, turn your enemies into friends, and then that's your power now.
And if they refuse you, you don't feel bad about killing them, because who would refuse that except somebody truly evil?
Yeah. You'd prefer to be sick or die of your injuries than receive help from an enemy.
But that could almost be like Confucian in nature. The relationship defines cosmic order.
Okay.
It's almost like a spiritual take on the Eshwin ability of like life stealing. Mm-hmm. Like after you kill him, you can like feed off the life or whatever. You're taking the sick and dying, and now they're becoming part of your culture. Like you're bringing them in.
So what if they worship the twin moons, the two moons, because you have the dark one and the light one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's what their religion based all their mythologies on.
If there's like phases of the moon where it looks like one is giving life to the other or vice versa or something. Mm-hmm.
And other people share the same religion, but they are the fanatics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The lighter moon gives the gifts and the darker moon is what you have to do if people reject that.
Maybe.
Because we have the...
The reciprocation. The equal and opposite.
Because you could have aspects of the religion, like what you work for. Like, I work for the dark moon side. We get called in when they don't accept.
And the sign, the seafaring thing, what do they... If you spend a lot of time near the ocean, what do you care about? What do you...
The wind.
You care about wind.
High tide, low tide.
Water. Free animals under the water.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Safe passage. Storms are terrifying because it's a super perilous journey. So you want...
And storms... You know, while they occur in season, their strength is random.
Mm-hmm.
So their gods, there would have to be at least a number of capricious, random gods.
And mythological figures, demigods,
lots of superstition on having a safe journey.
Okay, so let's make
so
the
each
sign...
body of water would have its own personality as well.
Right, and you would have a god of the land-faring peoples, and you would pray to them for safe passage over land when you're not giving, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... I think they are a pantheon of sea problems. Like
the idea that there could be, like, there's a deity in certain large bodies of water. Like, there's, if you find a lake, well, all right, let's appease the spirit of this lake, you know, so that we can cross it safely, even if it's not that big, instead of having to go around it. But then it's like, dude, the god of the ocean, don't fuck with that guy. Because the bigger the body of water, the more powerful you are, and the more serious penance you have to make to, like, you know.
Maybe every body of water has a spirit in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has its reigning spirit with its own children.
Like colors of the wind shit. Every rock, every tree.
That's where wishing wells come from.
Is it?
Yeah, because you would tie your wish to a tree near a stream and hope the god of that stream would give you your wish.
What do we name our sea religion?
Sea is...
Are we looking for functional or flary?
Something that they would call themselves, and then everybody afterwards can have their own names for who those god botherers are, you know?
A faith or a religion? Is it more of a...
Is it structured or is it just like a general belief?
There are structured ways to practice it, but generally people just will buy a trinket.
Okay.
And be like, please don't kill us. We'll throw a pig into the ocean.
Yeah.
Well, because it's not just the sea. It's the spirit of water, which is a life-giving substance.
Well, no, it's specifically gods.
Yeah.
Sure.
They see everything as just like...
sentient.
It's all this... It's all... So they're seafarers. So when they see another large body, it's like, it's a very small sea.
What if it's something like they all know that they're going to wind up at the bottom of the ocean one day? So it's something like...
Would they think that, though?
I mean, the goal would be to not have that happen.
I think they commit their dead to the sea as well.
Okay.
Like the Ganges.
So maybe the idea that if you're buried at sea, your spirit becomes a part of it.
Yeah.
So then you want
to... Like, you have to... Yeah. Like, you worshipped the Western Sea, and you died out here in a strange land. We have to get his body back to the Western Sea to be committed to his God, to live forever in his kingdom under the waves.
And that would fucking suck if you're like, guys, don't let me die out here.
Yeah.
Don't let me
die
out here in the fucking desert. This thing, it's antithetical to
They're
everything I want.
They're extremely superstitious. Because you can imagine seafarers are very superstitious.
Yeah.
Because if you don't go back to the ocean, if they don't bury you back, you're doomed to wander.
Yeah.
You know?
You become one of those sea gaunts or something.
Yeah.
They encounter out there.
Landlubber or whatever. If you're stuck on land and you'll never find your way back. But if your spirit is returned to the sea, it's like a big fucking party. Because now
Unless
it's like...
kill a non-believer and bury them as you. That would be a
But
ceremony.
You're already dead is what we're saying.
Yeah, but your family would have a ceremony where they kill a slave and throw him in the ocean and be like, that was Henry.
Yeah, don't be mad at us for not returning his body.
Yeah. Because, you know, religions are workarounds of ideas.
Hmm.
I like the idea that it's somewhere where you would want to go. If it's like, I don't want to literally say it's Valhalla, but if it's like a positive thing like that where you're like, hey, when I die, bury me in the ocean because that shit's dope. As opposed to...
Yeah, it would be important for you to learn like the waterways and tributaries because you're like, oh, so-and-so is a servant of this one, is a servant of this. Because like all rivers lead to the ocean.
Yes.
So there's like a lake and you're like, yes, but the lake serves so-and-so.
Yeah. It's a gift from the ocean to bring life.
Yeah, these have a relationship. Yeah, everything is related.
Because it's true. The ocean is like the center of life, the origin of life. Life didn't come on land until the ocean gave it. You know?
Right.
And so now you got to return. It's like, oh, we're going to bury you. It's like, dude, you're not going home if you get buried. You got to go out there. That's where we came from.
So I almost think like you'd call them like bottom walkers or something like that.
Yeah.
Would there be like
floaters?
No, because that's
sinkers.
That's what you do when you die. What would you What would you be when you're alive?
Upper deckers,
like drifters or
drifters isn't bad because you're kind of
dry.
Because that's the thing. Because when you're alive, you're naturally kind of buoyant.
Yeah.
So you can't join the party because you're alive.
You're a buoy.
Yeah. You're a buoy.
Flotsam versus jetsam.
I would think like too. Like the sea is always at war with the god of storms. And the surface of the ocean is...
That's the no man's land?
That is the first line of defense against the storm. Mm-hmm. God, you know.
Would there be a Fiddler's Green type heaven where there are no storms?
I think it's at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So should we base it around that? The name of that place would be the...
Well, like, what would you call... So these guys only travel along the top of the barrier of that world.
Yeah. You're asking for permission to trample across that barrier.
Yeah, to travel, to basically walk across the shield.
Yeah, just be like, hey, bro, I know we're making waves, but we're not a storm. You know,
Shield walkers is even really cool.
Yeah, shield walkers make respectful waves. You know, like, or
skimmers. It's like if
skimmers. I kind of like that. Skimmers.
That sounds kind of rad. I was going to say, if you go into a graveyard in reality, it's disrespectful to walk over people's graves.
Yeah.
You're walking over the biggest grave on the planet because the ocean is just a big grave. So you're like, hey, we got to travel across the gravesite of, like, literally everything. So maybe
there's like guardians of that.
Well, that's like leviathans and monsters and shit.
But like you yourself are a guardian of that. If you travel, you are protecting what you see as your ancestral land below or whatever.
But are you
from storms?
No, from other people who are not of your religion, your hydro.
I like skimmers.
Yeah, skimmers.
You want to go with skimmers?
Yeah. But skimmers is more of a
colloquial.
Yeah.
Well, what did the Greeks?
Those are practitioners. Like we are skimmers.
Yeah. Yeah, we're skimmers. Like
So knots, like sailors, something knots.
I think just skimmers, right? Because what did the Greeks call themselves?
Because you could not
Athenians,
be,
you know, yeah. Like they would name themselves after a specific god. It's like, yeah. Oh, well, like these travel the sea of this god. So the seas are named after the gods that the skimmers worship.
Yeah. And you could work at a dock your whole life, never really go on a boat. You could still be a skimmer.
Sure. Like I get seasick. I'm a skimmer, but I get seasick.
My goal is to help shepherd those across,
yeah.
across the shield,
threshold, yeah.
The veil. Okay. Skimmers. I like that. I only want to name two gods.
All right.
I want to name the god of all seas. And the god of storms.
How many seas are there?
Bunch. I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
It's like, it won't matter till later. You'll learn them later.
Delna, lord of seas.
How about like Croc? K-R-A-W-K.
What a croc.
And the god of all seas you fear the most. And you fear the god of storms. So you pray. Because like, both of them are harsh and unforgiving and just indifferent to your peril.
But one of them will welcome you when you die.
I think neither of them will.
Ooh, okay.
The specific sea you're in, you have to placate, which is a child of the god of all seas. Yeah, and all sea monsters are born of the god of all seas.
Okay.
It's like, yeah. It's like
the god of all seas gives two shits about you.
Yeah.
You know?
I almost think it's like Yogg-Sothoth, like the goat with a thousand young. Like it births all sea monsters. It created all the seas. It doesn't give a shit about you, but it's at war with the storm.
It's kind of like a Kronos versus Zeus.
Yeah, it has much bigger problems than
even its own children.
Yeah,
yeah.
So the children you make the deal with, be like, hey, can I come play in your sea once I'm dead? And like, oh yeah, great. You know, I like people. You know, I'll watch over you if you get buried here. Mm-hmm. But as far as like the guy in charge, he doesn't even care what we do. Like,
yeah, so you placate him because he fights the storm.
So there's the sea and the sky, and the land is an affront to both. And
I figure it wouldn't be an affront to the god of the sea.
It's true.
Because that's where his worshippers go. We're like, that's...
It's all ground under the sea, too.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's the sea versus the sky. The god of storms, each storm is a sentient entity to them. Uh-huh. So, like, a bad storm happens, they're like, he sent one of his children, you know, or she did, like, that kind of thing.
So it's like it's a random spirit that will never happen again, or...
Yeah, or maybe if there's, like, a 50-year storm that comes around every 50 years, it's the same one, you know, and it has an agenda.
El Nino.
Because the area would have, like, a monsoon season. But what if those...
Well, if you live long enough, too, you're like, oh, I know this storm.
Yeah,
I've been in this storm before.
So that could be cool. Like,
if there hasn't been a storm in a long time, you're like, he's coming back and it's going to be hell to pay.
Well, they're the ones tracking it. They're like, yeah, he's coming. It's going to be bad. So-and-so. And they have a name for this storm that's coming soon.
Yeah.
Hurricane
Can there be
Andrew.
A sect of priests who are just like ancient meteorologists and they're just like standing on the shore like, it's coming. And everyone's like,
with pinwheels.
Yeah.
No, with like rain cloud stickies they put on things.
Mm-hmm. What if the storms were children of the ocean god?
No. They're
I think the seas are the children of the ocean god.
Okay.
The storms are children of the
air
sky god.
Sky god. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
They're waging a proxy war at the surface, which is the barrier to both of their kingdoms. Mm-hmm. So the god of storms is...
Benwe.
The sea and the sky are fighting over the affection of the land.
Maybe.
Ooh.
Takes the land needs both of them.
And storms are not as bad on land as they are at sea.
Maybe the land is the... petrified corpse of a lover both of them shared.
Yes.
And it died, and now they hate each other forever.
Although there's so much life on the land, though.
Yeah, there's so much life
on the land. But the land itself.
The rock, the dirt.
It's dirt and rock. Like, it used
like
to
almost,
be alive.
They would almost think of it like ash, like a volcano.
Yeah, because the sky and the sea are so alive in motion, and they move constantly.
Land is, as far as they're concerned, land is solid. But then what would they think about volcanoes and earthquakes and stuff?
That's a good question. Maybe it's sleeping, and they're trying to...
Yeah.
I don't know.
But the sea is always trying to reclaim the land, too, so...
Well, and the wind is always eroding mountains and shit, you know? And the rain... Because that's the thing. Rain brings life. Rivers bring life. Those are come from two separate sources. If it's like a dead lover that they both like loved, that's interesting. But it's just like, how would you account
maybe
for
he's injured and sleeping, and his earthquakes and volcanoes are it rumbling to life, and they're trying to provoke it to do so.
But they're fighting over, and that's what the great sea storms are. Because there is no storm that is large that does not form over the sea.
All right, so Croc.
So the skimmers.
She's a god of all seas, and the goddess of storms is
Benwe.
Benwe. We'll do that. B-E-N-W-E.
All right, so the skimmers believe that one day the Earth will wake.
Yeah.
And that'll be
no.
It must choose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It must choose between one or the other.
It will choose when one wins. And the Earth would only just be referred to as the lover. He's like, oh, we live on the lover.
Lover Earth instead of Mother Earth. So if, like, a party of Kreks are, like, sailing down a river, they're going to get fucked up by some skimmers.
They could, or they, like, air people. Generally, you pay a skimmer to be like, they'd be like, sure, we'll do all the rites.
Yeah.
We know what leads into where.
Or even the idea that, like, oh, if you're only taking one trip, that's fine. Like, you can get by, usually. If you live on the waterways, you have to do this to survive.
Don't be disrespecting us, that's all.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I'm just thinking, like, a party of air priests, like, sailing down a river.
Well, there'd be a lot of Kreks who are skimmers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who are river folk.
Well, but, skimmers is, like, there's Tolden, there's anybody can be a skimmer. The ancestor worshipping dwarf-like, megalithic...
Should be matriarchal?
I think the skimmers are matriarchal. This is specific to each family, and then it goes above that and above that.
So for the skimmers, it's goddess of the storms, goddess of the sea?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in that case, there should be a clan system then. Because you're not just my family. I'm not just part of my immediate family.
Right.
There's part a secondary of an overarching, larger, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, the branches and stuff like that.
Over that.
But even. there were people who ushered in new ages that watch over everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are people who are above that system.
Yes.
And your goal is to be above that system, to be one for all.
Ooh, like Buddha.
So are the different clans maybe when this civilization was founded and they're going to build these giant structures, the distant wandering nomads all came together to build. So you're descended from the people who were this clan and they were the stone people and you were descended from this clan and they were the...
Well, I think just a lot of the artifacts survived. It's not that distant people came together and decided one day. You don't even know how far back it goes.
Oh, all right. Whatever. Yeah.
What would you call them if they're ancestor worshippers?
Apothites.
Okay. Apoth. Well, apoth has... How about apocytes? Only because, like apothecary, apotheosis is like ascension to God. Well,
that's why I went with it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They look to ascend.
Yeah, they look to ascend. So apothites, ancestor worship, and there are key demigods, people who have reached apotheosis.
Yes.
Now, all the ancestors can help them, but they're those that are clearly ancient heroes that are now gods.
Ooh, it's very Chinese, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's cool. Would they believe in you're reincarnated within your clan, which would force you to marry outside of your...
No.
So I think they obviously have the biggest pantheon.
Yeah.
Let's think of the biggest worries in their society that they would appeal to the most commonly. I think child rearing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just going to write this down as needs so we can create quick gods for them.
Food.
So harvest.
Yeah. Law.
Hierarchy of
law.
If they have a large, complex society.
Travel.
Law is important.
Yeah, the lawgiver.
Travel and war.
Yeah, but so you get some sort of strength because of their scales, you know. Yeah. They need a armor plating, you know.
And because they're city folk, it would be like health.
I think there would be non-Harad who also like...
Yeah. This is not racial specific. And we're starting with those specific.
Yeah, any and all can be risen. And you can have, like, there are Guff clans that straight up worship their ancestors that also want to climb the ladder.
Mm-hmm. And they probably use a similar framework to a Harad group that does it, but the Harad has a certain kind of art style on how they do it, but the Guff believe that the same things are true, they just don't express it the same way.
Yeah, and your direct ancestor is the thing that you worship that's different, but the general ones are the same.
So child rearing, harvest, law, travel, war, and medicine.
Yes.
Okay, I will run this shit through a name generator, and we'll have the gods for those.
I definitely want travel to be thought of as a Guff, even by the Harad, though.
Okay, interesting.
Because they invented it?
No, it's just the guy who traveled the most, and he came back, and he just told them a bunch of stories, and everyone's like, when you die, you are the most traveled
watch
person.
Watch over travelers.
Yeah, well, he's like,
almost watch over them. Saints, like, they got a saint for everything.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting, because the skimmers don't believe that shit at all, but the apothites might worship somebody who was a skimmer because of what they did.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, and then what we have left are the Larsa with the two moons.
We're looking at duality here, man.
And there's only these two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the two moons. The sun isn't a deity in their eyes, but the two moons are, and the way they interact with each other.
We'd call them brothers before, hadn't we?
Sisters.
Oh, sisters.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The sun is just a star to them. They know what a star is. Like, the moons are important. They're close.
And they change.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's Sister too black of. And white,
yeah.
But even though these are black and white moons.
But that's the thing that other people who are trying to... engage the culture, and they're like, oh, you seem very black and white, and they're like, no,
we love them both, and both are important,
and both love us, but in different ways.
So when the light
hits... It sounds very... Now I'm starting to realize it sounds very My Little Pony.
Dope.
So for the darker moon, when the light hits it, it just looks gray? Or like, what, how do we think this looks?
I think it looks opaque. You don't know what it is, and it absorbs a lot of light.
So it just looks like...
The Death
like
Star.
Like a hole? Like just a...
I think a hole with... Not just a hole. Maybe there's like some texture to it, but it's very slight. Especially compared to our moon, which is not very reflective. It still comes across as bright white, yes, to us because of the sun. This is dramatically darker.
So maybe based on whatever dust is on the moon, like there's... To know that there's phases of the moon, it's like, all right, it's either completely black and it's missing. Mm-hmm. And, or you only know it's there because it's blocking out other stars and stuff as it moves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like angrily watching, waiting to strike. But then when light hits it, you can kind of barely see it because it sparkles a little
bit.
Well,
let's start with their needs, okay?
The bright moon is obscured when the other one takes it in its arms.
What do they as a culture care about?
Expansion. Well, giving. It's expanding by giving as well, because it's like you're
what's
helping.
What's their afterlife? So we've got the afterlife for the skimmers. They go under the sea to their preferred sea of their home to spend it with.
Maybe the moon.
So they go to the moon?
The bright one. Because you either go to the bright one or the dark one.
Or you could go to either, but it's not based on what's bad and good. It's what role you filled.
If you're not actively helping, if you're not running mercy missions, then what are you doing?
Some people need to die and be killed. Your society needs warriors, spies, assassins.
Maybe. And they would see those things as more just than the skimmers or the apothites.
Yes.
So maybe if you, according to their religion, if you come over willingly, you, when you die, you, if you worship, you die, you go to the bright moon, let's say. Mm-hmm. But if we have to kill you, hey, no hard feelings. It's not personal. You go to the dark moon after you die.
Maybe you go to the sun.
To the sun?
Is hell.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And that's why it's hot and fiery. It is just souls. It is being fueled. That's what they're doing. They're fueling the sun.
Well, then what's the dark moon all about?
The dark moon is like the quiet, contemplative, wise graveyard, but cold and non-emotional, whereas the moon...
But who goes there? Or does anyone go there?
I think lots of people go there. You know,
scholars, soldiers.
So maybe you just choose where you'd want to go?
Well, it depends on what you embodied,
yeah,
in life.
It's more like the karmic system. You have a dharma. You have a role.
So one's not generally better than the other.
They're just different.
They're different, yeah.
They're symbiotic to each other. They are the duality of the way that many things can be and how things need to interlock.
Asgard and Valhalla? Or maybe probably a better comparison might be like there's different circles of hell, but this is different circles of heaven. There's just like two versions of heaven.
It'd be like Valhalla and like wizard heaven.
So like... Okay, so
I would imagine it would be the like Elysium,
yeah,
on the moon, mm-hmm, and on the dark moon it would be like the library.
The regular moon is like cool nightclub, the playing the top 40 hits, everyone's partying. Dark one is like smooth jazz, like chill
prog rock. I think.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's
reading a book and having a real strong drink.
Yeah, yeah, a little more.
You get to know the secrets.
Yeah, and just more chill. Whereas the other is more of like, hey, I want to see people, and I want to, you know, be sociable. The other is more of like, oh yeah, there's other people there. You could, but no one really wants to talk to anyone there.
Yeah,
yeah.
I want to write poems about wizard heaven, though.
Yeah,
I was thinking if they don't want people to end up on the sun,
mm-hmm, they don't want people to end up on the sun.
Right?
They want to convert you.
They want to save everybody from
okay.
That, from
hey man, just you don't want to
horrible
go to the sun.
Death.
Yeah.
From that horrible afterlife of eternity burning in the middle of a nuclear gravity
reactor,
well.
Yeah.
And it makes sense for them to want to worship the night because they're fucking bats. You know? So, like, the daylight is
so do we call them the day wardens?
Just straight up sun haters.
Catcher in the sky? That's a funny joke, by the way. Yeah. Max got it. It's the hardest I've ever made Max laugh.
Yeah. They don't like the sun.
Yes.
They don't want to go there.
They don't want anyone to go there.
I think they do want some people to go there.
No, they don't want anyone to go there.
They will forgive you. Yeah. Like, you will be forgiven if you merely repent.
Yeah.
What if you burn in the sun for a million years, then you get to go to the moon?
Maybe you just end up as a star, which is like the dimmest light.
Yeah.
Like, it'll spit you out when it's done with you, and you float for eternity in the abyss.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
So you didn't accept the goodness. So you don't get to party.
And you're denied any knowledge.
But you're only tortured for a million years.
Well, I'm just saying, why even leave the sun? Why not just say, hey, the sun's huge. You're in the sun now. You're going to burn.
Because they need a description for stars. Yeah. Because they care about what's in the sky a lot. Mm-hmm.
The stars are those who failed, but no longer actively punished.
They've served their time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they wander in the darkness without being able to join any
party. Without love mm-hmm. or knowledge.
Love and knowledge is a good way to...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like that. But you don't really see a lot of new stars that often. And if like every single person who died who goes to the sun, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It just seems a little...
Oh, but it's only when you're done. You burn there for a million years.
Yeah.
I guess. It's just weird to put a time limit on it is all, I guess. Like
religions like to do that. They yeah. like math.
Oh, I was going to say, you go, you burn in the sun.
No.
And then if you repent, then you get set loose and then you're your own star. So it's just more of like, are you going to, even in death, are you going to hold fast and be like, no, I won't give in? And it's just like, it's almost like the stars or sun is hell. The night sky is purgatory.
Purgatory, yeah.
Yeah.
Something to do with night sky. They want to go to the moon.
I really wanted
the Armstrongs.
I wanted to find them by hating the sun more than loving the moons.
Yeah. Well, I think what they would be fine they're not calling themselves.
They're bat people. They're not vampires.
Well, no, it's not just bat people. But the Larsa are those.
Yeah,
they're the
origin.
Well, maybe not. Maybe
I mean,
they're
the
just...
the sun gives life too, you know? Not, I mean, the
yeah.
moon, I think the idea of worshiping the moon is more of like getting into nature's vibe, like getting into like the cyclical nature of it, and that there's life and death, there's day and there's night, there's like the duality of things. So it's not about necessarily hating the sun, but being like, well, the sun is just a necessary part of things.
We have the two moons for that.
But that's the reward. Like the bad stuff.
Yeah, but I think that's the internal binary.
I just think like if you literally hate the sun, you usually sleep at night. You know what I mean? Like, and you live outside. It's like most things happen during the day.
Yeah.
That's where most of life happens.
Yeah, and most of life is awful.
Sure.
That's not true.
For those people,
for the people
who currently live, yeah, man, it's mostly bad. It's all of the problems we have now, and there are giant moles that could just kill you. And also, people could just steal your children, apparently.
It's the only
demigods.
You know that's like all true now, right?
Yeah,
like,
only they're magically powerful. So it's reality, but worse.
Yeah.
And the daylight, that's the only time you can see what you're doing properly, you know? Yeah.
So you can see how bad it is. Where you get rewarded with heaven.
I mean, that's.
I mean, that's a big part of Catholicism is the reality we live in. The mortal plane is a fucking nightmare.
I'm just saying, don't declare war on the sun. The sun can be your punishment, like that, because no one wants to fucking live on the sun, even now, like even in reality, you don't want to live on the sun. I get that, but the idea of like the sun is bad, it's like, well, all right, dude, you can throw rocks at it, like you know, spiritual rocks at it. It doesn't really change anything.
You'll just stop sending people there. It'll burn itself out.
So you call them the. Moonrisers, sunset walkers. I was thinking skywalkers, right? But that's already taken.
Yeah. Night flyers.
Moonies. That's already taken too. That's a Korean cult. The Moonies. You don't know about that?
No.
They're probably one of the biggest cults in the world.
Close to loonies.
The loonies.
Yeah. Is there any other word for moon? Like besides luna and lunar? And
I kind of like moonrisers.
Moonrisers?
It's like, oh, you're one of the moonrisers. Like, yes, well, we prefer to call ourselves the order of the such and such.
Yeah.
You know, but
here come the moonrisers.
But I think moonrisers is not a derogatory term. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we could say, oh, there's Christians, mm-hmm. and Moonanites, but you'd be like, well, we're Catholics.
Yeah.
You know, we are Seventh Day Adventists, you know, like that kind of thing.
We're like, no, we mostly want to go to the bright
because they
want
to ascend.
We're brighters, we're darkers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're
like moonrisers works because they want to get there. That's where they want to go.
Away from the giant moles. There are no moles on the moon.
You don't know that. You don't know that for sure.
I am sure there are.
But there are no moles on the sun.
No, in fact,
there are sunspots.
All moles, when they die, go to the sun. All moles.
Good. We sent that fucking mole to the sun.
It's the opposite of all dogs go to heaven.
Yeah.
All moles go to hell. I feel good about this. Mm-hmm. We can develop this a little bit further, maybe off air, some of it.
Uh-huh.
But this is good. Now we have three distinct religions that can span across multiple countries and cultures and express themselves in different ways. So you could think of...
With the freedom to also just like make cults and dumb stuff whenever you need.
Yeah, that are derivative of these.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, this is good. We'll come up with names for these and reveal them probably next design episode.
I'm definitely down for a cult that thinks the sun is the bad guy and they want to like...
Kill the sun?
Yeah,
that's
like
just really
that's,
funny.
Because that sounds more fanatical. That's what I mean. It's like...
Yeah.
So...
And maybe they find a way to do it. And you got... your adventure. Yeah.
I'd be fucked up.
Yeah.
The whole time you're like, what is the sun? And we're like, we don't know. Nobody knows.
It's bright and hot.
Oh my god, what if there's a fire cult that wants to create a second sun on the earth, combining all their fire energy?
Oh, they think it's heaven, and they're like, this place isn't on fire. No, boo.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. We are on a rock. The close star above us gives us life. All the other points are stars. We must become a star. That's what you do. We're infants in the cosmos. You don't see another rock out there. There's the moons, but that's part of us. We got to turn all this shit into stars.
In fact, we have to shove the moons into us to start the grand engine.
Yeah, we have to swallow the pill. You know, you take the right pill and you become. If you swallow the dark pill, you just stay a rock. If you swallow the bright pill, it gives you the energy. You become the sun.
There's another question that is important to the struggle of all of these cultures: is how do they deal with their dead, which is a perennial problem for all humanity. We already got an answer for the skimmers. Mm-hmm. The Apophytes, they probably build large tombs and catacombs and that kind of thing.
If you're
statues,
because you want to be able to visit.
If you're noteworthy. Like if you're,
well, have a family crypt, you know?
Oh, there'd be, or even if there's clans, there's like five stories deep.
Yeah, and it's probably important. But it's always really important for you to return the remains to where they need to go.
Right.
Yeah.
But every single person gets a crypt?
No, the crypts are filled with hundreds and thousands of people.
So I'm just saying, how special is? I'm just the average Joe. I didn't do anything that makes me worthy of being a saint. Where are they going to bury me? In a hole?
Let's say you're an Apophyte. Yeah. You know, there's no way you're ignorant at all of your family's entire lineage.
Okay.
So when you die, you would know that you'd want your remains to be buried in this one crypt for your family that's closest to your lineage, which is there's probably 100 people in there already. And you just go in there with them.
But this religion goes back so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like we're talking necropolis here of stuff.
Also, they would degrade slowly and you'd slide more bodies in because that's definitely what people did.
Yep.
And there'd just be pits of bones because there's whole just pits of bones.
It would be kind of fucked up, but also interesting to be like, all right, well, I know where I mean, this already happens where it's like, I know I'm going to be buried there. But the thing is like, that's my slot. And it's a lucky one because this total badass ancestor used to be in there, but he's literally turned to dust.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to go rest in the same spot as my cool, totally awesome,
maybe
great,
I could,
great.
Maybe I could follow in his footsteps up to like super heaven.
He already paved the way, so I get to chill there. I mean, that's a cool way of looking at it. Like,
yeah. And also, like you'd be like what there's necropolises? I'm like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, dude. And it'd be like, if you already know where your spot is going to be, wouldn't you want to take care of it? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be like write a passage for like your adolescence. Like, all right, this is where you're going to go when you die.
Somebody dies before they're expected to, and they put them in your spot.
And you're like,
and
oh,
you call. It's
no.
like when you come back from college, and your parents have rented out your room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you fucked up? They're like, we already thought you were dead. We just we sold it because you know people want spots. You know.
Yeah, that's a way to deal with the dead. And the Moonrisers, they burn them.
Oh, they burn them
because it rises up.
Oh, there you go.
Only at night.
Yep.
Yeah, you have
unless
to wait till night.
unless you're one of the crazy devil worshippers,
which they don't give a shit. They just
they do it during the day.
No,
absolutely.
Yeah, they still got to get rid of your body.
They can get you up to the day.
Yeah,
yeah.
They still got to get rid of your body. They're not just going to leave your body.
All right, come sunrise, we're burning this pile.
And
otherwise, it's like you got to wait till nightfall. It's like we can't start a fire now at night because we're being hunted.
They're like, we have to. They have to get to heaven.
They would do the same for us.
Yeah.
So I feel good about this, guys. We're going to think on this for a while and come back to it. Thank you guys all for listening. We really appreciate you chiming in on our Patreon at patreon.com/RPGFS. Again, if you guys enjoy this, please tell a friend. We are playing the games. Liam's going to start his campaign soon. And then after Liam, it's going to be Max.
And I've never run a game, so that'll be fun.
Which is also something we need to test. So, so if this kind of thing interests you, just please reach out to us. You can always reach us on our Patreon at patreon.com/RPGFS.
We're also on facebook.com/RPGFS.
You can find us on Twitter at homebrewhombres.
Or check us out on Instagram at RPGFromScratch, one word.
All right, guys, thank you very much for listening. And until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that.
Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.